Good afternoon. My name is Asif Rahmani, and I've been trying my Dutch out for the last couple of sessions, so I'm going to try it one last time again and see if I can get it, nail it the last time as well. So, goedemiddag. Ik heet Asif Rahmani, and that's all the Dutch I know. I'm from Chicago, United States, and I work at SharePoint-videos.com, also SharePointElearning.com. This is where I contribute videos and I do training through for SharePoint, only SharePoint stuff. And I'll talk to you a little bit more about that in just a second. The topic today is going to be all about workflows. All right, and that's, I guess, one of the reasons, of course, there's so many people here, because workflow is a necessity, right, for everybody. You need to have automation. Of course, the kicker over here is that what kind of workflow do you have in SharePoint 2010? That's what you want to know. What kind of advancements have been done with SharePoint Designer 2010 in workflow space, and also the integration with Visio modeling of workflows and InfoPath for form creation. I'm sure you've seen or at least heard a lot of these things been talked about, right? So hopefully you'll see it in action here, and in my humble opinion, my hope is that when you get out of here, you start using it right away. Now, I know this is still beta software, but it still works pretty well. There are a few bugs here and there, and I've gone through them. It's really got last couple of sessions. I've had some issues as well. But it's very close to where we want it to be, I think, or where Microsoft wants it to be, I should say. All right. A little bit about myself. Asif Rahmani once again, and here's my email address, asif@sharepointelearning.com. Feel free to email me. I'm a SharePoint Server MVP and a Microsoft Certified Trainer. As I was saying before, that SharePoint-videos.com is a site where I produce and I host a lot of videos along with my partner, Wendy. And this is the place where you're going to find, hopefully, lots of non-code, non-programmatic, but still very, very robust, powerful solutions that you can see. These videos, we pride ourselves in doing these because they contain almost no slides. Maybe you'll see one or two slides and that's it. Everything else is just, here's how you do something. Okay, and there's lots of free videos out there. The kind of stuff that I'm about to do today, all these things are out there for free to check it out. Hope you like it. There's also bookmarks that I have for the site in case you want to remember it by. So if you want to pick one up later, welcome to do so. In terms of training, I have partnered up and I'm teaching with Critical Path Training. And we'll be offering our first class in the United States next month, but if you're not in the United States, then still you can take a webcast. We have webcasts coming up. It's going to be all about SharePoint Designer, InfoPath, Visio, and everything else that I'm talking about, and a whole lot more. 5-day class. If you're interested, let me know. About a year ago now, we wrote this book called Microsoft Office SharePoint Designer 2007, and it was basically a manual on SharePoint Designer 2007, and I'm hoping that we can write a lot more on 2010, because there's a lot of stuff that's coming, or that has already come, and it's going to become RTM pretty soon on SharePoint Designer 2010. And lastly, I love speaking at conferences, TechEd, SharePoint Conference, SharePoint Connections, United States and outwards. Been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to be here. This is my first time in Amsterdam, by the way, and I'm leaving tomorrow. It's been great. All right, so what to expect during this presentation? Lots of demos. That's something that I like to do on all my presentations, lots of demos. I will take some questions, but if it requires a really long answer, I'm just going to say, you know, hold off and let's talk about it at the end so we can get through all the different demonstrations we need to get through. And lastly, of course, this is not a basic, beginner SharePoint Designer session. So I'm going to hope that you've already seen SharePoint Designer 2010, and we're going to go from there. Okay, so this is all about workflows, which is one part of SharePoint Designer, and we're going to be going directly diving into that section. All right, let's talk about it now. Workflows, in general. You know, automation of processes is something that everybody needs, as I mentioned in the beginning as well, right? What has been happening for many, many years now is when you think about automation, like, you know, some kind of need. For example, let's say, think of SharePoint. Somebody uploads a document, all right, and they don't put a title into the document. So it's just a file name. It goes up to a document library. Well, what happens? If you go to the properties of that document, it just says file name this, title is blank. Sometimes you need that title, you know? So how about an automatic way to put that title in there, looking out for that? That's just a very small thing, right? Or something like really, really complex that a developer does, you know, taking a state machine and doing all these kind of cool things putting the process through, putting a document or something else through a process. So these are the two extremes that you can do. Now, aside from the state machine thing that I just mentioned here, everything else before that is possible in SharePoint Designer. You, as an administrator or a power user of SharePoint, can make workflows happen to your benefit. No code required, of course. And SharePoint Designer 2007 lets you make workflows. It still lets you make workflows right now. But, of course, the biggest problem that you've had is you cannot transfer those workflows, right? You cannot scale it. So once you have a workflow, it just stays there. If you want a workflow somewhere else, you got to make it again. That restriction has been lifted, thank God. All right, so let's talk about workflows in general first, of what you get in SharePoint. You have out-of-the-box workflows. There are four workflows that you get out of the box: the approval, collect feedback, collect signatures, and disposition approval. So four workflows you get out of the box that you, as a site administrator or a designer, go directly to the browser, go to a list or a library, and start creating your workflows. No problem, right? The problem with these workflows, though, is that they're limited in nature, what you can do. Then comes SharePoint Designer, which gives you rules-based declarative workflow. So they're not compiled. They're not like Visual Studio stuff, but they're very, very powerful. They're rules-based. They're all XML-based. And then you have Visual Studio. Now, before I start talking about SharePoint Designer workflows, which is going to be, of course, this whole session, please keep in mind that the most powerful workflow solution still remains Visual Studio. No doubt about that. Visual Studio is the way to go if you want really, really scalable state machine type of workflows and lots of different things going on. That's where you need to make your workflows. But, you know, reality is that Joe sitting in accounting or Sally sitting in some other department, whatever, those people who are just administrators of a site or who are, you know, administering some part of the site, they just need some process done fast. They need to do it quickly, and they're not going to go to a developer or learn development themselves to do this workflow. So they need to do something quickly. And that's for those people, and for people like me as well, who want to develop really cool, quick solutions for my clients and then give it to them and say, hey, you know what, go ahead, you can manage it now. You don't need to do development. You can manage it. So that's what SharePoint Designer workflows are all about, helping you save time, I think, at least. All right. In SharePoint Designer 2010, you have three types of workflows that you can create. First one is a list workflow. This is what you had in SharePoint Designer 2007 as well, if you've been using that. How many people have used that, SharePoint Designer 2007? Okay, lots. So list workflows remain the same. You still have list workflows. You can use them. But then we have reusable workflows. Reusable workflows is where the biggest investment has gone in, right? You make a workflow. You package it. Well, you publish it out there to a site, and it's there, available at a site, for you to later go ahead and attach to a list or a library or attach to a content type. All right? I'm going to show you how you can attach to a content type, and it's extremely powerful when you do that. And then you can take the content type from place to place, from library to library, etc. Then the third thing, which actually nobody really asked for, not that I know of, but Microsoft provided this anyway, and this is great functionality to have, is a site workflow. So taking a workflow but not attaching to a list or a library, just attaching it to a site, and then having anybody who has permissions execute that workflow, and that can work upon different lists, different libraries, different users, whatever you want to process in that site workflow, you can do that. I won't be showing you examples of all three of them, all right? As much as possible, what I want to do is expose you to all different types of workflows that you can create, many different types of actions that you have, conditions that you have, and the integration, of course, with Visio and with InfoPath. That's my goal today. All right. Speaking of InfoPath, Speaking of workflows specifically, is SharePoint Designer 2010 gives you a baked-in workspace now to build your workflows. Your steps go one by one. Within the steps, you have conditions, you have actions, subsequent actions, right? And then you can move these things around as well as you want. So if you decide, no, this action should not be here, it should be up there, you can move it around pretty quickly. You have something called parallel branching, which I'll talk about in a few minutes as well. Impersonation. There's lots of different things you can do in the workflow designer for SharePoint Designer 2010. Now, how many people have you been using InfoPath, if you don't mind me asking that? Wow, that's a lot of people. That's great, actually. In the States, I don't come across that many people, to be honest, who are using InfoPath. Ones who are, they're using it very, very deeply because they understand the power of InfoPath. But the ones who are not, they don't even consider it. I think InfoPath is an extremely powerful application. Microsoft Office InfoPath came out in 2003. And when it first came out, it was completely XML-based, just like all the Office applications are right now, right? So it was ahead of its time in 2003. And it's just been building up better and better and better, and now we have Microsoft Office InfoPath 2010. Now, InfoPath, by the way, comes in two flavors now. In 2010, they broke it up into a designer and a filler. So a designer of InfoPath designer is the one that's used to design applications and also to fill forms. And filler is just for clients who just need to fill a form, okay? All right, I could talk more about that later if you like, but what I want to talk about in this context here with workflows is when you make a new workflow in SharePoint Designer, and let's say that workflow requires some kind of form functionality, so some kind of questions you need to ask somebody or some kind of step where you need to get information from somebody, that becomes a form, right? Until the last release, which is SharePoint 2007, those forms were ASPX forms. So, of course, they were customizable, but a little bit harder to customize. Now they're XSN forms. So you can probably see at the top over here, .xsn, right? .xsn, every time you see .xsn, that means that's an InfoPath form. Oops, excuse me. You get the idea. .xsn is InfoPath, all right? And if you click on it, it opens up InfoPath for you, and lots of cool things can happen then. So that's what I want to show you first. My first demo is going to be on site workflows and InfoPath integration. All right? Site workflows and InfoPath integration. My scenario here is going to be a site which I have pre-built because I wanted to put a couple lists out there to begin with. This site is called Finance. It's a regular team site. And in this team site, I have this list here called Suggestions Received. Suggestions received, all right? It has the field for full name, suggestion, and site rating. The reason for this list to exist is I want people, let's say I'm the administrator of this site, and I want my users to go ahead and give me some feedback or give us some feedback, our team some feedback as to how we have done with this site so far. Do they like the site? Can it become better? You know, any kind of feedback they want. So it's kind of like a survey a little bit, but it's more powerful than the built-in survey that comes with SharePoint. Well, I don't want them to go directly here to this list and click on Add New Item to put information there. I don't want them to do that. What I want to do is I want to provide them a workflow which does things in the back end that I wanted to do. Now, it's going to be a simple workflow, but I can do a whole lot of things, as you'll see, if I wanted to. So I go to SharePoint Designer. I'm at the finance site right now. All right, summary page for finance site. Go to workflows, and I'm going to click on site workflow. All right, the name I want to give this is Submit Site Suggestions. Gives me my workflow space here. Right now I'm just going to use a couple actions and show you a couple things here, but then later on in the next workflow I'll show you more things about the workflow designer. When this cursor is blinking over there or this line is blinking over there, this is the place where you're going to put in actions or conditions. Okay, here are my conditions and here are my actions. What I want here, let's see what I want to do first. I want to put in, actually before I even do this, what I want to do is define some form parameters, initiation form parameters, this thing right here. This says that, you know, before this workflow starts, I want to gather some information from people. So I want some variables, some information that I want to, for example, I want to ask them their name or I want to ask them their department, whatever it is, I can put my form initiation form parameters in here and it will present that information to the user who's coming in. When I click on initiation form parameters and I click on add, let's see the kind of things that I want to put in here. First thing is going to be full name. Actually, I think I have employee name. Never mind. Let's do this employee name here. Employee name, and that's going to be a single line of text. That's fine. Second thing that I want to ask them is going to be their suggestion. So list your suggestion. And this is going to appear as a multiple lines of text box, all right? And I can provide default value if I wanted to. Third thing that I want to provide them is going to be rate this site. Rate this site. It's going to be of type choice. So I'm going to give them a menu to choose from, And the choices I'm going to give them is going to be great, it's just functional, it's okay, or just downright poor. All right. That's going to be a drop-down menu. Click on Finish, click on OK. And now I'm going to go ahead and use my actions here to display, to work with those variables, the parameters that I just put up there. First action here is going to be, I'm going to take the information that I get from those form parameters and put it directly in my suggestions received list. Okay, so see if you understand this just conceptually here first. I have the suggestions received list on the site, right? And I just made these three form parameters which will be presented to the user when they first start this workflow. When they give the answers and they click on submit or OK or whatever it is, it should automatically go to the suggestions received list and populate the information there. So the action for that is going to be action, and where's my action? What I'm looking for is the create list item. Here we go. Create list item. I'm going to click on this list here and point it to the suggestions received list, which is right here. All right, suggestions received list has the full name variable or the full name column, which is a required column. So that's why there's an asterisk over there, and it's telling me that you have to fill this in with some value. So I'll click on modify and say that fill in the full name in the column of my suggestions received list with the employee name that my user is going to provide. Where does the employee name come from? Well, I'll click on the insert formula button, the FX button, and my data source here is going to be getting information from a variable or parameter. That's what it is, it's a parameter. And here we go. Here's all my different parameters. Employee name, suggestion, rate this site. I'll take the first one, employee name. And this is something really cool. If you've worked with Designer 2007, you know that this is a new thing, right? You can return the actual field that's going to come, the parameter. You can convert that if you wanted to different possibilities that it provides you here. I want to use string, so that's fine with me. I won't be changing this. Okay, and okay. So that's the first column that I'm populating in suggestions received list. Similarly, I'm going to click on add and pick the second column now. That's going to be a suggestion. These are the columns from the suggestion received list. And populate the suggestion column. Once again, the same way, and going to list your suggestion parameter. All right, and one more thing here, going to site rating and populating that with the site rating that I receive from the parameter. So far, so good? Okay. Next thing that I want to do is send an email now. Send an email to the owners of this site to let them know that, hey, a feedback has come in, and here's the feedback, and here's the person who sent the feedback. Now, another way of putting in actions or conditions in the workflow designer here is just start typing what kind of action do you want or condition. Send, how about send? And I'll click on enter. Here we go, send an email. Two possibilities. I pick the first one. I click on these users. So I'm going to send this to the owners of the site, SharePoint e-learning owners. All right. Let's add these people here. The subject line is going to be feedback received from and then the person's name. So I'll use the string builder, which is built in. Using this ellipsis here, the string builder comes in, and I'm going to say feedback received from dash add or change lookup, and the feedback is going to be received from, well, the person who sent it or submit the feedback. Of course, it's in the parameter as well, right? That's in the employee name parameter. There we go. That's done for subject. The feedback here is going to be, well, feedback states. And then the actual feedback can go here. So I'll click on add or change lookup. Lookups are extremely powerful in SharePoint Designer workflows, by the way. So use lookups as much as you need and even more, I think. So once again, going to workflow parameters, going to suggestion. All right. So once this gets sent to the person, to all the, actually the owners of the SharePoint e-learning site, they're going to get this email, right? All right. And I can change, by the way, if I wanted to, the text. There's lots of different formatting options that I have. Change the size, make it bold, different color, whatever I want to do. You could do that. All gets rendered at HTML. It gets sent out through email. All right, done. So let me just make sure over here. Yeah, there's only two steps, the two actions that I'm going to do here, and then show you how this works for site workflow. When I do the second workflow, I'm going to be showing you more actions and conditions there. So I'm done, and then I use this nice big save button here to save my workflow. Now, I gave this away in my first talk yesterday morning. See, whoever is here, let's see if you remember. How do you save a workflow right now in SharePoint Design 2007? Do you remember? Yeah, good. You guys paid attention. There's no workflow save button in SharePoint Design 2007. I'm not sure exactly what they were thinking when they implemented that without the save button. You know, so I pull this trick on my students a lot when we go to lunch or something in a class. And we're in the middle of building a workflow, right? So I tell everybody, okay, yeah, just go ahead and save your workflow. We're going to go to the lunch sign. And I start walking. They're like, oh, where's the save button? Nobody knows where the save button is. There is no save button. What you do in SharePoint Designer 2007 for Workflow Designer is you just implement an action or a condition and then don't configure it. So don't click on the link to say whatever, you know, these users are, you know. So for example, if you have to send an email, just don't configure the actual email and have an error existing on in your action. Then you click on publish and the Workflow Designer is going to ask you, hey, what do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to just save it as a draft? Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do. So I trick it, but that's going to work. Unfortunate. But now we have a nice big save button, which I already pressed. Now I'm going to click on publish. I'm ready to publish it. So it's going, validating it, gone. Now the way that a person will see this workflow or execute this workflow is by going to, now I know this is not ideal what I'm about to show you, but I'm going to show you a different way as well later. By going to site actions, site workflows. I know not everybody can go this route, but I'll show you a different way. See, site workflows, of course, I'm going to show you all different site workflows that exist here. I'll click on the submit site suggestions workflow. Shows me this form. Doesn't look that pretty, but it does the job. Show ask for your employee name, which I'll put in Asif. Suggestion, great site. Rate this site, and my drop down, I'll say great. And start. All right, it's done. Let me go ahead and go back to finance, go back to my suggestions received list. Here it is, right? Simple enough. All right. So as I was saying before, you might not want to provide, tell the users to go site actions and all that stuff. They might not even have security to go there. So you take just this address, right? And you go back to your homepage of your site. And maybe you could drop in like a links list or something. That's what I'm going to do right now, actually. I'll edit this page. And right at the bottom here, I'm going to say insert an existing list. And that's going to be the links list. Add. All right, so links list appears here. Let me go ahead and save. And in the links list now, I'm going to go ahead and click on add new link. Provide my new link. And that's going to be for submitting site work suggestions. No rocket science here. Very easy to do. Definitely recommend it. Easier for users to get to site workflows, right? No problem so far? Now, this page that you're seeing here, this parameter gathering page, if you want to call it that, this is good, but you can make it better. All right, so this is something that you can customize to make it much more dynamic the way you want your users to see it instead of just the way it is implemented right now. And guess how? InfoPath. I heard some people say it. Don't be shy. Come on. Speak up. All right. So what you do is you go back to your workflow, right? And you got to look for that form. Where does it exist? How can I customize it? You go back to your site workflow and you go to submit site suggestions is my workflow name. So I'll click on that in the breadcrumb trail. Here's my summary page for Submit Site Suggestions workflow. Here it is. At the bottom, it says Submit Site Suggestions.xsn. So you click on that. InfoPath opens up. Now, of course, InfoPath has to be installed first. InfoPath is not free. Okay, InfoPath requires a license. SharePoint Designer is free. InfoPath, last time I checked, was, I think, a couple hundred bucks per license. And to do this, you just need to do it, you know, with one client license, and then you're done. Okay, so what I want to do here is I'm going to click on the Start button here and click on Properties for the Start button, maybe change the label Start to Submit. All right, so it doesn't say Start anymore. And I could probably make these things bold if I wanted to. Let's make them bold. And I'll go to the top here and click on Insert, insert a picture of my fictional company called AdventureWorks. So all the stuff that you could do in Word, you can do it really here easily. And then I'm going to save this. It's going to save it as a .xsn file. Template sounds fine to me because I just want to save it locally right now before I publish it. So I'm going to save it here. Now how do you publish it back, right? How do you publish this back to where it came from? Two choices you have. One, and when you get used to this, this is going to be the best choice. There's a small icon right here. Pretty unassuming, unfortunately, but this icon is the one that you use to submit it back. Now, don't use that in the beginning. You want to understand what's going on to begin with. Instead, click on the File button. Excuse me. And File button has this big button, okay, that you can press to publish your form. And this is going to tell you exactly where it's going to publish this form. The publish location is the workflow submit site suggestions. So I'll click on Quick Publish. Done. At this point in time, you don't need to do anything else. You don't need to recompile your workflow or anything like that. It's done. Click on OK. Go back to your site. Let me go back to the home page. User comes in, clicks on Submit Site Suggestions. Here we go. Okay. Employee Tom suggestion. Good, but can be better. And that's going to be functional. Submit. And done. All right. One more thing that I want to do, you know, this workflow, this form that I have here, it's pretty good, but what if I wanted to show the other suggestions that have already been submitted here? Okay, so now I'm really going the dynamic route and making this form a lot more usable, a lot more user-friendly to see, hey, here's all the stuff that your colleagues have said, your peers have said, okay, and here's a form for you to submit your suggestion. So I go back to InfoPath, I still have the form open. Right at the bottom here, I'm going to say maybe like past suggestions or suggestions received. Let's make this a little bit bigger, bold, maybe a different color. All right, and right down here now, what I want to do is display the information, the current information from the suggestions received list, in my site. I want to display that right here. InfoPath, those of you who already worked with it, I'm sure you've already seen that InfoPath allows you to make connections to a lot of different repositories, XML files, web services, SharePoint lists, SharePoint libraries, databases, you name it. You can get to lots of different data sources directly from InfoPath. So what you want to do is go to the Data tab. Much easier now in InfoPath 2010. It just gives you a Data tab, and you go there, and here's all your choices right up here. What we want to do is we want to get to a SharePoint list. Right? So let's click on From SharePoint List. Now it's asking me, where's your site? I'll go back to my site. Let me go ahead and right-click on the finance and take a shortcut to just HTTP SPEL finance. Go back here to InfoPath and just paste it in here. Okay, so that's what it says, HTTP SPEL/finance. Next, here's all my different lists in my finance site. I'll click on the suggestions received list. Okay. Next, what I want is the full name, suggestion, site rating. The three columns, which are the information that I want, I'll click on Next. Hey, by the way, you know, a person actually came to me and asked me this question a long time ago, and he remembered the answer that I'd given him in class. I'm going to tell you right now before you run into this issue. If you select all these different things, or in a regular list, you might even have more columns, right? If you take all the different columns, get information from everything, it's going to cost you. Not money, but it's going to cost you performance, all right? You're pulling in a lot of information at the time when the form is loaded, so be careful as how much information you're pulling forward. I'll click on Next. Next, that's fine. Suggestions received, that's fine. All right, my connection has been made. Now the point comes where how do I display that information directly into InfoPath form? Now, those of you who have already worked with InfoPath know that this task pane here is extremely powerful on the site, right here. And this, in 2007, shows you all the different fields on your main data connection and also your secondary connection. The secondary data connection is the one that we just made right now to the SharePoint list. In 2010 version of InfoPath, it does not show you that by default. So this is a little bit tricky. Here's what you got to do. You got to click on the Show Advanced View, this link right here. When you click on this link, it shows you Advanced View. This is a much more friendlier view, basically. The Advanced View is the much more powerful one that shows you any data sources that you have connected to from your form. So when I click on this, it shows me my main source being the form itself, and then my suggestions received secondary connection, all right? That's my list. So when I click on this and I expand the data fields, here we go. Full name, suggestion, site rating, everything is there. I can take any one of them or multiple, drag them onto the form, or I can just take the whole thing here and drag this whole thing onto the form. It's asking me how do you want to deploy it as a repeating table, as a repeating section, etc. Also as a repeating table. Here we go. And I don't need this last column ID, so I'm gonna go here and go to Table Tools, delete this column. All right, so that's the three that I want. I'll go ahead and publish it. Now that I know that this small button publishes it, I'll click on the Quick Publish. Wonderful. And then I'll go back now to my home page, click on Submit Site Suggestions, and see what happens. Here we go. All right, Asif said this, Tom said that, and let's see what Nancy is going to say. Nancy is our third person. Not good. I don't like it. Well, I told him to be honest, so she's being honest about it. All right, it's poor design, nothing has been done to the site, and that's it. Next time we go to Submit Site Suggestions, that's going to be there. Here we go, that's what Nancy said. And all these things, of course, are in the suggestions received list as well. All right? Any questions about this stuff so far? All right. So this is site workflows. This is integration of InfoPath. What I want to do, what I want to talk about next is the Visio integration. So let's go to a slide deck here first and talk about this. Being in the SharePoint designer field, the SharePoint designer InfoPath, you know, all that stuff that I do, I've gotten picked on by many developers. And I'm not a developer anymore, but I used to be. But I do get picked on, like, oh, Asif, you know, we have this nice little workflow designer in Visual Studio. You don't have any workflow designers, right? You can't design your workflows. You cannot visualize your workflows in SharePoint Designer. You can make it really powerful workflows in 2007, I mean, but you cannot visualize it. Well, here's the answer that we've been waiting for a long time. Now anybody can go to Visio, which is, of course, a very well-known application, and go ahead and start modeling your workflows directly there. And then take your workflow and then export it out to SharePoint Designer. Extremely powerful, especially for business analysts. So a person who, let's say, who's not technically in nature, but they have the business logic in hand, right? They don't even want to touch SharePoint Designer. They just want to take their functionality that they have in their head and put it down somewhere and then give it to you. That's the person who's going to be going in there most of the time. And once they design their workflow in Visio, what they'll do is they'll give it to you or maybe they themselves will go ahead and import it into SharePoint Designer. Okay? The export of the workflow is a VWI file, Visual Workflow Interchange, Visual Workflow Interchange. And that VWI file is understandable by Visio and by SharePoint Designer. And this is bidirectional. It's two ways. Meaning once you export it here and you start configuring it, let's say, then you realize, you know what, I need the business analyst to do some more stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and export it out of here and then give it back to him or to her. And then they're going to go ahead and expand it further and give it back to me. Back and forth. Very, very helpful. So let me show you how that's done. Talking about modeling workflows in Visio and then also some more workflow designer tips. All right. Let's do this. So first thing I want to do is go to my, actually there's one more thing that I want to be showing you aside from the things that I talked about is InfoPath forms can also be hosted in something called a form library in SharePoint, right? That's been existing for a long, long time now, since 2003 actually. And a form library is just like a document library, but it hosts InfoPath forms And you can treat it just like any other library by putting a workflow around it, you know, setting a versioning on it, and all these cool things you can do in a library. So what I want to do is I have a form, training request form, which I'll show you right now, InfoPath form. I need people to fill this form out when they are requesting training. So somebody wants training for SAP or for SharePoint or for ColdFusion or whatever. That's the three choices that I have here. I need them to fill this out and then click on submit somewhere to send this form to me or to somebody. And then everybody in the company has an amount of credits they can use for their training. So they have 10 credits they can use. After it goes beyond 10 credits, then they'll be rejected saying, hey, you've already taken too much training this time. Get back to work. All right? All right, so what I want to do here is take this form, publish it out first to my SharePoint form library. I'll click on File, click on Publish, and then SharePoint Server. Okay, and I want to change this address. I want to take my SBEL Finance address, provide that here. That's the site that I want to publish my form on. Three different choices. The most powerful choice is this one right here. Actually, this one too, but this requires more administrator stuff. But the content type is the most powerful one. We won't be doing this right now. We're just going to be publishing this form directly to a form library, okay? That which is the first option. Form library, next. Create a new one or use an existing one. We'll create a new one. So next. And this is going to be called training requests. Next. This is an extremely powerful screen. This says that if you want any of the fields in the form to be available in the as columns in the library, go ahead and define them right now. Okay? So I want my employee name, date, time, my department, my training requested, all these things to become columns in my form library. You know what that gives you? Anybody want to guess if you've been working with it already? Why does that help? It by what's called promoting your fields into columns. Sorry? Well, it's going to be stored anyway. It's going to be stored in the form anyway. The workflows can use it because they're columns now. What else? That's a big one. Yes? You can sort, filter, you can make new views based upon those columns. Absolutely. You guys are just too quiet right now. I have to get you to talk. That's why I'm asking you questions. Come on. I know it's the last session of the conference, but all right. So that's what I want to do right now. Have these four fields appear as columns in the form library, right? Next, publish, done. So I'm going to click on this open this form library checkbox and click on close, and it's automatically going to navigate me to the form library that just got created. Okay, here it is. The form library has a department, employee name, date, time, training requested, all these different columns. All right. What do I do now? Well, if you go to Documents and you click on New Document, it actually starts by presenting you that form now. It loaded this form up in the browser, right? This functionality in particular, by loading up an InfoPath form in the browser, requires the enterprise licensing. If you don't have enterprise licensing, if you just have standard licensing, then it will try to open up in InfoPath. Keep that in mind. Okay, I don't want to do this right now, so I'm going to close this. What I want to do first is, now that I have a form published to this library, I'm going to put a workflow, like the gentleman over there pointed out, around this library, so then I can use this information here. So automatically, things will start happening once somebody submits a form. First thing that I want is, I want to check the person who's filling out the form, do they have enough credits available for training? So the way I have it configured here, they only have 10 credits that they can use. If it's past 10 credits, can't take it anymore. Well, how would I know how many credits they have? You go into the employee credits list, which I created earlier. And here you go. You see that employee named Greg Johnson has 9 credits, so he does qualify. And Carla Adams has 12 credits. She does not qualify. She's already taken too much training this year. All right, so now a business analyst comes in, a business analyst hat. Let's put that on right now. A business analyst says that I'm going to make this workflow by going to Visio, Microsoft Office, Microsoft Visio 2010. Visio now has stencils, special template for SharePoint workflows. You go into flowchart category. And here we go. Microsoft SharePoint workflow. All right? That's the key. Microsoft SharePoint workflow under the workflow category. Once you go here, click on create. It will give us the stencil for the stencils, actually. The quick shapes, the actions, conditions, and actually the one thing that's not showing here yet. Here we go, terminators. All that stuff is here. The terminators, terminator, pretty cool, right? Terminators, sorry, I had to do it. I'm a big Mr. Governator fan, you know. All right, I'll pull the start button, the start terminator here, and terminate here. And, you know, you could do a top to bottom, side by side, whatever you want to do, or, you know, one to the other. But that's going to be where your workflow is going to reside, from beginning over there, ending over there. That's your beginning point, end point. Within that, you can put conditions and actions. I'll start by putting an action here. And the action that I want is send an email. All right, send an email. Let me make this a little bit bigger for you so you can see it. Second thing that I want to put in here is a condition. And the condition here is going to be compare a data source. Compare a data source. So that's the condition. All right. And then what I want to do is send an email. Action once again. Right here. And then let me just hold this here. Set workflow status. Put this over here. And stop workflow. This stop workflow action is different than the stop workflow terminator. This stop workflow action will stop the workflow, but it's conditional in its nature, meaning, you know, it will stop it whenever you want to stop it within the step, right? All right, and for the bottom here, how about actions? Assign a to-do item. You know why I'm making these two branches, right? Right? Okay. Set workflow status. Set workflow status right here. All right. Let me make it. Yeah, that's good. All right. Now I want to connect these pieces together. Because the condition statement is in the middle, we have two branches depending on what the condition, if it's true or if it's false. Connecting it together, you can use the connector tool up top, or you can just, you know, hover over this and it gives you these arrows. You can just click on the arrow and it connects. Pretty easy. Connects here. This one, I'm going to make sure it goes to the right place. Here. This one, connect and connect. Come on. See? Something's wrong here. That actually just thought that I was making another stop workflow action for some reason. That's why sometimes I like to just drag it to the right place. All right, here we go, and here we go. Last one. Okay, once your workflow is done, of course, you always want to save it. Make sure you save it. So I'm going to click on Save here. Drawing one is fine because this saving is going to be saving it as a .vsd file, the Visual Designer file, or Visual Studio. I'm sorry, Visual Designer. Okay, not Visual Studio. We're not talking about Visual Studio here. All right, I'm saving it now, but that is not the one process that produces the VWI file. That's going to come next. We go on to Process, the Process tab. And here you can export your workflow. All right? I'm going to try to export it and see what happens. All right. The workflow diagram must be valid for exporting. Please resolve all issues in issue workflow and try again. It's catching my mistake. Did you catch my mistake? Well, the answer is right there. What? That's right. There's no yes and no's, meaning it doesn't know exactly which branch is this, which branch is this. You know, if the condition is true, go somewhere, false somewhere. So you got to tag these branches by right-clicking on it and saying yes. And here, saying no. And then you can check the diagram once again if you want. Great. Its validation is complete. Everything is fine. And export. Now you're making the VWI file, Visio Workflow Interchange, and this is going to be training request workflow. Let's just do that. Workflow. Save. We're done with Visio for right now. I'm going to go back to SharePoint Designer. And in SharePoint Designer, what I'm going to do is go ahead and import this workflow. So you go to workflow section and you look for the import from Visio button in the ribbon. Click on this button. Very simple. Browse to the file, which is, here we go, training request workflow.vwi, open. Next, here's the kicker. You can make this workflow a list-based workflow directly or a reusable workflow. All right, now, in this case, I want to make this a list workflow, but I could have easily made this a reusable workflow and then use it again and again in places. My reusable workflow is going to be coming later. Make sure I got enough time here. We started at what time exactly? 4:30? Okay, so we got about half an hour altogether. All right, more than enough time. Too much time, actually. All right, training request workflow is the name of this workflow. What I want to do is attach it directly to my training request. My training request library is not there, right? The training request library is the one that I want to attach it to. If you do find this yourself in this situation, just don't panic, first of all. Cancel out of here. Knock on wood first, and then refresh. Okay, so I refresh this finance site, import from Visio once again. It's already pointing to the right workflow. That's good. And now it should be there. There we go. Okay, training requests. Then finish. Here we go. This is how I designed the workflow in Visio. This is what it looks like. You see the parameters, or I shouldn't be calling the parameters, what is a really good word for it? I don't know. The configuration of the actions and conditions, okay? The configuration of it, which is defining those parameters or those variables, these users and value, whatever, all that stuff cannot be done in Visio. That has to be done in SharePoint Designer. Okay, so that's the catch over here. Once we bring it here, then you go ahead and configure it. So I'm going to click on these users and define who do I want to send this email to. Keeping in mind, once again, this workflow is for somebody requesting training, right? So I want to go ahead and respond to that person who just filled out the form, telling them, hey, we got your form. Thank you. We'll work on it. So I'll click on the Browse button and say that the user who created the current item, send a response to them. Add. OK. Subject is going to be just simply, how about got it? Got your form. Working on it. Be patient. Sometimes you need to say these things. Otherwise, you'll be like, okay, what? You sent it 5 minutes ago. It's not done yet. All right. Now what we want to do is go to that employee credits list that I showed you earlier. I'm going to do a lookup on that employee credits list and see if this particular user has enough credits available or not. Okay, this is where it gets a little bit tricky now. So I'll click on the first value link over here. Click on FX. Do a lookup from the employee credits list. The field that I want to get information from is credits. Now, of course, there's going to have lots of different values in credits column. So how do I get the exact value? Well, I say that where the employee name in that column, where the employee name is equal to the employee name that has filled out the form, basically, right? We have access to that person's employee name because if when you click on FX here, this current item signifies the current form that's been filled out. Now, I know this can get a little, if you're looking for the first time, you're like, what's going on here? And this definitely happened to me for a couple of days. I was just banging my head many, many years ago about this thing. But once you get used to it, it becomes easier. You're looking for the credits in the employee credits list, where the employee name in that list is equal to the employee name in the form that's gotten filled out. Think about it that way, okay? And I'll click on OK. It's telling me that, hey, doing it this way, you might get more than one value coming back because there might be more person who comes back. If that's the case, I'm just going to take the first value, return that. Is that okay? That's the risk I'm willing to take. Yes. So if those credits and then the test here is going to be, what do I use here, is greater than, and the value here is going to be 10. Okay, if that happens, then email the users, the person who created the item, once again, same person I want to email. Then what I'm telling them is, that's right. I was looking for some text, but I have no text here. Okay, so sorry, can't take any more training. You have No. How about get back to work? All right? Stop wasting time filling out these forms. All right. Then the workflow status, that's a new action actually in SharePoint Designer, Workflow Designer 2010. The workflow action can be changed. Status, I'll be right with you. The workflow status can be changed to some other to status. It gives you out of the box three different choices. So you can say, okay, the workflow is canceled, the workflow is approved, rejected, or you can make your own if you wanted to. You can just type it in. This is a combo box, a combination box. So you can pick something from the drop-down or you can write your own. So here I'm going to say, no good. Okay? And before I do the next action here, I'm going to take the question from the back. Sorry? That's true in production, but my demo calls for as good. You're right, though. Yeah, you can do as greater than or equal to. Absolutely. All right. What I'm going to do then stop the workflow and log a message, right? So the message here is going to be something like, again, sorry, already taken too much training. Taken too much training. All right, something like that. Now, you know what I want to do here is I want the actions email and the set workflow status to happen in parallel, one by one. Currently, the way they are implemented is going to be email and then, right? You see that word then right there? Okay, so it says email and then do this and then do that. What happens sometimes is that if you have it displayed like that and if there's an action, which might take a long time to do, email or assign a to-do item or get information from somebody, and you don't want to wait for that action, you just want to move forward, you can run things in parallel. The way you run things in parallel is by going to the place where you want to start your parallel branch and go to the parallel block. Okay, go to the parallel block and drop this onto the workflow designer. There we go. Here's my parallel block. And then I'm going to take this, and I wish I could have just dragged it in the parallel block, but I can't do that. The next best thing I can do by clicking on this and clicking on move up. And click on this and click on move up. So now it changed to email and then and instead of then. Okay? Not just this, but you can also move your conditions or actions from step to step. So if I decide to have a separate step here, let's put a separate step here, and this is going to be email user confirmation. And this is going to be a process request, for example. And definitely advise you, by the way, to name your steps. It's just going to make it easier for you when you come back. And I want to move this action now from here to up there. Simply click on move up, and you're done. All right? All right, let's finish this up. What I want to do here is this, if this is, what am I saying here? Yeah, if the person does have enough credits to take the training, then what I want to do is assign a to-do item to their boss and say, hey, do you approve? So I'll click on the A to-do item here, click on next. Approve training is my task that's going to get built. Now here's the very interesting thing here, I think this that you're going to like. When you ask for permissions, right, you're asking now the person's boss, the person's manager. Where's that information stored? How do you know who's their manager? Active Directory, I heard. That's true, Active Directory. Now, you can't get to Active Directory directly from here. You can actually, but not with the provided actions. But you can get to the next best thing, which is the profile database. That's right. The profile database is a, if you set it up properly, it automatically syncs from the Active Directory. You get all the information from there. And now you have the functionality to click on these users and say, do a workflow, look up for a user, add, starts up the lookup. The data source is going to be user profiles. All right, user profiles. And in user profiles, you're going to say that in this case, what did I want? A manager, I think. Here we go. I want the manager. And now I don't want to return this person's name or as a string. What I want to do is return their login name. You know why, right? Because we're assigning this manager a task, and you want to assign their login name a task. So, you know, it's assigned to the proper ID. If we just do it to a name, it could be many Bob Smiths. Maybe not many Asif Hermanis, but many Bob Smiths, that's for sure. So let's do it to login name. And now how do you find that particular person in here? Well, you say the account name is the person who is actually initiating this workflow. the person who's initiating this workflow, go ahead and get their manager's login name. That's what you're saying here. So you click on FX. And one other new thing here is something called workflow context. The workflow context gives you anything that you want in the context of this workflow. You can go ahead and get information from there. So I'll click on workflow context, and say that I want the field initiator, I believe. Yep, initiator of this workflow, and return this initiator field as a login name. And let me make sure I got this right here. Yeah. Okay, this is what you're doing here. Getting a manager and getting it for the person who's logged in right now. Okay, and okay, and done. And now I'm going to set this workflow status to all good. So once this person goes in and approves it, then it gets set to all good. Everything is good. This is a list workflow, right? So we can go ahead and save it and publish it, or click on publish directly, and we'll go ahead and publish it to the list. So let me do that. It's going to publish now. And now we're going to see it work. So I'll go back to my site, go to my training requests library here. First thing I want to do is log in as a proper person. So Greg Johnson, let's say, is the one who's coming in and asking for permissions to take training. Password one. Okay. Greg Johnson is going to upload documents, go to new document, get this form, type in his name, the date, let's remain the same, type of department, marketing, let's say, and type of training requested. He wants Cold Fusion training. Who takes that anymore? Anyway, save this as Greg, and then close. Okay, so that's done. I think one thing I forgot to do, by the way, is I don't have the workflow starting automatically, right? If I wanted the workflow to start automatically, in SharePoint Designer, I should have gone to the workflow settings here and click on start workflow automatically when a new item is created. I'll do this for the next one. But for right now, I'm going to go to the form that I just filled out, go to this form and just say start the workflow on this form manually. Workflows, training request workflow, and start. Let's see what happens. Fingers crossed. Let's see. I'll go in. Here we go. The training request workflow becomes a new column. And I'll click on the in progress indicator here. And here we go. Perfect. Irene Hernandez is the one who is the manager for this person. So she got assigned the approved training task. She should have gotten an email at this point in time pointing her to the task list. And when she comes to her task list, which is what I'm at right now, and let's see, we're going to sign in as Irene. She goes into the approved training task and says complete task. All done. If you go back to training requests library now, it says all good. Okay? Let me go ahead and sign in as the third person now, which is Carla. And just to remind you that Carla is the person who does not have enough credits or has too many credits already. Carla has 12 credits already, right? Too much. So she goes, documents, new document, Carla Adams. And everything else is not necessary, so I'll skip it. Click on save. Carla. Close. You know, I forgot to do the automatic thing, didn't I? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it to show you that it works. I'll go back to my SharePoint Designer, and now that I have clicked on this checkbox, I'm going to click on publish again. So now it's actually publishing a new version of this workflow. Any workflow that's going to execute, or any form that's going to execute or going to get filled out right now, will take this new version of the workflow. Okay, let's do it one more time. In the library, I'll go to Documents, New Document, Carla Adams, Save, and I'll just save it as a different file, so Carla 1 or something. Close. Let's see what happens. Here we go. So it's in progress right now. Let's see what happens. Okay. Here, the workflow just got done right when we clicked on it. So now it says at the end, sorry, already taken too much training. If I go back and refresh this page, hopefully it should say The workflow has been completed and it's no good. That's a workflow status. All right? So list workflow, working with Visio, working with many different kind of different actions, moving actions around, the parallel block, all these kind of things are demonstrated here. Any questions on this so far before I do the last one? Yes, sir. Yeah. You have to, well, if you throw it back to work of Visio, you just replace the file, basically. And then you go ahead and take in the file in Visio, make changes, export it back out, once again replacing the file, the VWI file, and then Shipper Designer will go ahead and pick it up again. So it understands it's the same workflow, and it will update the existing SharePoint Designer workflow with the new copy.
So all your recipients
will... Yes. Yeah, so configuration still remains. Yeah, otherwise, that would be terrible. That would be terrible otherwise. I had this one question here before.
Can you visualize the status of the workflow?
You can, and mine is broken. But but you can do that. So the question here was, can you visualize the status of the workflow at any point in time? Yes, you can. The machine that I'm running, the virtual machine that I'm running, that functionality is not working currently, and I'm working to fix it. But in the workflow thing, you can click on this checkbox, nice simple checkbox, show workflow visualization, and it's going to show you the visualization of where the action is right now in the workflow. It works really nicely, by the way. Last quick question, and then we got to continue. Depends on who starts the workflow. If a business analyst is starting the workflow, they'll be more comfortable with Visio. And if a developer starts or a power user starts, administrator starts, they're probably going to start with SharePoint Designer. I would start with SharePoint Designer, to be honest. But I know many people prefer visualizing it first. I would start with SharePoint Designer and then throw it out to Visio to visualize it. That's just the way I work, personally. Business analyst, once again, should go to Visio first, I think. All right. Let me go ahead and continue here so we don't run out of time. Reusable workflows. Okay, so there's no slides. But next one is reusable workflows. Let's talk about that. Now, you know, you can make site columns, content types, all these different kind of things in SharePoint Designer now, right? So I'm going to start by making a site column, making a content type from scratch, and then using a new reusable workflow that I make and attaching that to the content type, and then using that into a library. So I'll go to site columns here. Click on New Column. It's going to be a choice column. I made this one yesterday as well in one of my sessions. Department, it's going to be in the AdventureWorks group. And the choices for department is going to be IT, marketing, sales, let's say. Default choice being IT. All right, here's my column. Let me go ahead and close this. I don't need this window anymore. Too many windows open. Saved it. Go to content types now, make a new content type. This is going to be called status report. It's going to be of type document, so I'll pick the document parent and document content type. And this is also going to be in the new group called AW, different group, of course. Content types have different groups, site columns have different groups, but I'm making a content type of type status report. All right, done. I'll click on this content type now. And click on the edit content type columns. So in the edit type content type columns, I'm going to go ahead and add the column that I just created in here. Add existing site column. I'll pick department. Click on OK. Here we go. And save. All right. One thing that I also want to do is I want to encapsulate an actual status report Word document that has a template for status report. I want to encapsulate that into this content type. That encapsulation, the association for any kind of template into a content type, that SharePoint Designer does not do. Okay, so what I need to do is go to this content types summary page and click on the administration web page button. And that will bring up the browser, which will let me, ooh, I'm still signed in as Irene. Click happy here, clicked on too many times. Hang on a second. Let me get back to where we were. Administrator, pass, at word, one. Oh, that's the wrong one. Okay, so I'm signing in as administrator. Lost my SharePoint Designer environment, unfortunately. No problem, here we go. Finance. We were working on the content type. Status report. All right. And I'm going to click on administration webpage now. Here we go. Opens up the administration webpage for the content type. You go into the advanced settings of a content type always to define exactly where the template for this exists. So click on advanced settings. I'm going to upload a new document template. Let me show you which one I'm uploading, by the way. There's one that I have right here. Such a very simple status report, right? Give me your name, give me a status on. All right. So I'll go to browse for my content type. Go to status report, template, open, okay, done. All right, what we have so far is we have a content type with the column department, which is the last one right there, and we have the status report associated with this content type. That's what we've done so far. Next thing that I want to do is start making my reusable workflow. So workflows, reusable workflow. The workflow here is going to be called, what do I call it here? Get my notes here. Report status, yeah, report status. All right, okay. Report status. My workflow here is going to be simple enough. It's not going to be that difficult. But before I start making my workflow here, what I also want to show you one more thing, extremely important, I think, is something called association columns. Okay, association columns is right here. This button, which, you know why this orange sun appears everywhere, right? Anybody know? You've seen that a lot of times, right? Huh?
Icon is still to be filled.
That's right. Icon is still to be filled. It's not been decided yet by Microsoft what it's going to be. That's what it really means. It appears many different places. So association columns will let you associate a site column directly to this workflow. Then you can use that site column in this workflow, basically. I'm going to click on select site column, or I can make a new one. But I'll go ahead and select my department column. Click on OK. Click on OK here, and you'll see in a second why I chose a department column, which already has my filled-in choices, IT, marketing, and sales, right? When I start making this, who do I want to make here? It's going to be, the first thing actually I want to do is just log a message. Log, the message is going to be just starting. The second one is going to be condition. So condition, and if current item field equals value. All right. Now, when I started making this workflow, the reusable workflow, I told it that, hey, you know what? This is going to be a general workflow. I can attach it to any type of content type, okay? That means that it only gives me the title column, which appears everywhere in every list, every library. But if I wanted different columns to use, if I wanted a specific column like department, for example, to use, I need to define it first as a site column, which I did earlier. And now I associated that site column to this workflow, and now I have the department listed here available for me to use. So DEPT, department, and it knows the values in here too. Here we go, IT, marketing, sales. I'll choose marketing. It's going to be a very simple workflow, not much logic in it. I'm just going to log something. So log a message, marketing. And else if branch, that's going to be very similar again. If the field, department, this time, let's say if it equals sales, then log a message, and that's going to be sales. All right? Simple enough. All right. So now what do? Once you got your workflow done, you click on save, of course. You click on publish, or you can just do click on publish directly. Once your workflow is done, you have a content type out there that you've made earlier. Now you make your reusable workflow, right? Now we're going to put it together. I'm going to go to my workflow settings page, go to associate to content type, and associate this to status report. Association, once again, does not happen in the SharePoint Designer application. It happens in the browser. So it took me to the browser. It says that, okay, I got your report status as a workflow template. It's right here. All right, I'm going to use this workflow template. You can name it whatever you want over here, or you can just leave it as report status, which I'll do. And I'll say, go ahead and start this workflow when a new item is created. Click on OK. All right. I have attached my workflow successfully to the content type called status report. Now what? What do you do with content types, guys? That's right. You can use it into a document library. You can use it into a list. Well, this is more of a document type of content type. But you can use the content types in many different places, right? And the benefit of using content type is when you go ahead and later republish your workflow to a content type, let's say, or change the columns that are associated with the content type, or change the workflow, the status report template, Word document template. Whatever you do the content type, it gets published out everywhere that it's being used. That's the powerful nature of content types, right? I'm going to go to Shared Documents Library. You know what? Actually, I'm going to do this in Designer. So you see the power of what you can do in Designer. So much quicker. In SharePoint Designer, I'll go to List and Libraries. I'll look for a document library. In my case, I want to go to Shared Documents. And in here, there's a section here for content types. It already has a document and a folder here. Now, I cannot change this stuff yet unless I click on, this is important, otherwise it'll tell you, unless you check this checkbox for allow management of content types. So if I don't check this checkbox and click on add, so I'll say, hey, to add a content type to this list, you must enable allow management of content types. All right, click on this checkbox. No need to click on save or anything, just click on add here. Click on status report, that's my content type that I want to add. Okay, and I want to make this status report content type a default content type. So I'll click on this and click on set as default and this other orange button available to me. All right, I believe that's done. There's no saving necessary. Now I'll go to Shared Documents once again. In Shared Documents, if I click on Documents and click on either New Document or the drop-down, here's my status report. Okay? All right. When you now go to New Document and click on Status Report, it should bring up my document template, the .dotx file. But not just that, it's going to bring up something else as well. So it's going to bring up the document, right, the template that I have. But also any fields which are server fields, site columns, for example, they will show up in the document information panel as well. What's going to show up then? What site column that we had made earlier? Yeah. Department, yeah, DEPT, that's right. So it's opening any second now. And I'm going to disappoint you here, so I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm going to show you how this works, and then I'm going to show you that it doesn't work, if that makes any sense. So here we go, document information panel, choose marketing or whatever, you can choose my name, status, great, thank you. All right, here's a part that I have an issue with, and this is might just be my fault and I need to find out from somebody, and this was working fine in a different build that I was using. When I click on save here, it doesn't let me save to the right place, even though I provide the exact location and stuff. Let me see if it works right now. Yeah, the path does not exist. Anyway. So this is definitely a bug somewhere, and it should not be the case. You should be able to save this directly. And since I cannot, what I'm going to do is just save this locally. So status report dash, there's already an Asif here. I'll say Wendy. This is my partnership on videos. So I'm saving this form soon. Hopefully hung up right now. Here we go. And I'm going to go ahead and just upload the document instead of creating it from scratch. Did it up? No, okay. Add new document, browse, there you go. And status report dash Wendy, open, okay. This is the important point. Content type has to be status report if you want that workflow to fire, right? And click on save. Wow, SharePoint is tired too, I guess. Close the program. Ah, it actually put it in there, though. That's weird. So it actually put it in there, but then it crashed on me. Anyway, the report status is completed, and if everything worked right, let me go here and show you that now it says, here we go, starting and marketing. Okay? So I just wanted to show you that this workflow did work. We made a workflow, we attached it to a content type, right? And then we use this content type in a document library. Just like that, you can go ahead and attach your workflow again and again to different libraries or different content types and use them anywhere you want. That's the power of reusable workflows. All right, a few more things before we're done here. Many people, and I mean really, really many, many people for many, many years now have had the exact same question for me, and I'm sure for many other people, that you know what? These workflows that come out of the box, that you can make without SharePoint Designer, the approval, the collect feedback, all that stuff, those are extremely powerful and they're already built. But I want to tweak it a little bit. I want that to be a little bit different. Can I tweak that? Well, before those workflows were built in compiled code and you could not tweak it, you could not do it in SharePoint Designer. Now you do have it in SharePoint Designer. When you go to a globally reusable workflow, like the approval workflow, for example, it's going to ask you, do you want to go ahead and copy this workflow and modify it, make it your own? If you say yes, then it's going to give you a what's called a task approval designer. Extremely powerful. You get a task approval designer where you can say, okay, here's what I want to happen. When a task is assigned, do this. When it's pending, do this. When it's expired, do this. There's already stuff that's already there. So email task to the person who has been assigned to, right? But hey, what if I want to make a, I don't know, create a list item somewhere or send another email to somebody else, their manager, that I can put directly in there. And I'm just going to show you quickly where this happens. When you're looking at a workflow, in a site, I mean, here you go. You click on, for example, approval. It's going to say, oh, it's read-only. I can't let you change the global reusable workflow. Actually, you can do this at the top site, but at the sub site, you cannot change it. But I can let you copy it and modify it for yourself. So I'll say yes, let me make a copy of it, call it workflow one, that's fine. Here's my entire workflow before it comes to the biggest step right here. This is the approval designer or the task approval designer, that's what it's called. When I click on this thing, this is extremely, extremely powerful. This says right here, whatever you want to do to change the behavior of a single task, the behavior of overall task process, or the behavior of completion conditions. You can do that by clicking on the appropriate thing. And here you go. Before task is assigned, that happens. When a task is pending, that thing happens. So it shows you exactly what you have right now, and you go in there and start doing it to your heart's content, whatever you want. Once you're done, put it out there, and now you have a templated workflow that you've modified to make it your own. All right, extremely powerful functionality. Definitely, I would suggest look into it. Lastly, once you make these workflows, you want to package it together. Okay, this is something I briefly showed in my session yesterday morning, that you can package your workflow as a solution, as a .wsp file. Very easy to do. You go to your reusable workflow. For example, I'm going to go to workflows here, go to report status workflow, click on save as template. Icon to be determined. Okay, in the site assets library, it has went ahead and made my WSP file, which now I can go ahead and take and deploy to a different site collection, different farm, or I can go ahead and give it to a developer, and what they do, a developer can do, is go to Visual Studio and use a project called Import Reusable Workflow Project, and then browse to my WSP file and start extending it right there. How's that? Pretty cool, right? Especially developers, I think I'm really, really happy about this. So here it is. There's a lot of stuff that I covered here. If you want to see these things and a whole lot more, go to SharePoint-videos.com. And as I mentioned before, there's some bookmarks if you want to help remember how to get to that site. And wish you best of luck. This is the end of the conference. Thank you very much for joining me, the last step. And, well, that's it. Thank you.